Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Mr. John Richardson.
Thanks. Well, that level of enthusiasm cannot be sustained. Thank you for coming and wanting this to be good. I mean, we all do, don't we? I've spotted a few of you I think are in doubt, and I will sort you as we go through. I will target you one-to-one with specific jokes designed to make you shit laughter. Then there's a clean-up. But you're on board. Thank you for coming. It's a special night for me, obviously. I hope you enjoy it. I hope it's memorable. I'd like to start by saying, if you're in love at the moment, it's not going to last. There we go. Just say that now and then it's out of the way. Then we can laugh about other stuff. I know some of you will have clutched each other and gone, oh, not us, but you. Sad thing is, you think I'm wrong. It's just going to hurt you more. So the reason that's a fact, of course, is I'm not saying you're going to break up. You might not break up. You might be that person forever. But then you'll die. Now, that's not supposed to be a shock. If you didn't know you were going to die, I didn't mean to break it to you that way. It'll be magical. There'll be sunshine and butterflies. But you will. Now, the point is, you all, I assume, at the beginning are sensible enough to know that's not a reason to not engage with life. The fact that you're going to die does not mean you should not enjoy yourself at any point. I've sort of gone the other way and sort of decided quite early on, if everything's not going to be perfect always, I'm just not going to fucking bother with it at all. And it just means I've wasted so much of my life, because I'm going to be 30 this year. It's quite a big year for me. And I really wish I hadn't tried so hard in my 20s. Because all my friends are turning 30 this year. It's quite interesting, because I made friends when I was at school and university, and then I went to make more friends, and I thought, everyone's the same. I've already got one of each. You know when you meet new people and you go, oh, you're a bit like my mate. Well, fuck it, don't need you then. I'll call you if Gary dies. But other than that, you were just too similar. So we're all sort of turning 30 this year and they're sort of freaking out. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Just, oh, what was that? Life? My friends are arseholes. I probably should have mentioned that. But I sort of feel the opposite way. I feel like turning 30 has made me realise, do you know what? I'm going to be alive for ages. I'm really going to be alive a long time. And it's good, but the reason it feels long is that for some reason in this country, when you get to 18, we've already given you everything. It's ridiculous. By 18, we've gone, oh, you're right, you're 18, are you? Yeah, now you can drive, drink, gamble, fuck, go on, do everything, do the lottery. It's too much pressure to have at 18. Like, oh, I better do everything and be the happiest person alive then, shall I? It's ridiculous. We save one thing. There's one thing we keep back to just go, oh, I know you think life's amazing now, but just hang five, because, well, when you're 25, you'll be at a hire a transit van. Well, it seems too good to be true at the moment, but you'll be at a hire a transit van, and there'll be no excess on that whatsoever. Oh, I'll never forget my 25th birthday. Oh, straight down Europe car I was. Oh, I'll have the long wheelbase transit, please. No excess on that. I'm 25 today. We're just going to cruise around and pick up chicks, I guess. Yeah. Loads of them. I got a transit. No, I can't keep them in the boot. Ah, well. Just two, then. It's ridiculous, because you don't need everything at 18, do you? By all means, I would happily make sure 18-year-olds can drink. It's early enough to know that the world isn't perfect. Have a beer. But just don't let 18-year-olds drink everything. What does an 18-year-old need with single malt whiskey? After, when have you ever spoken to an 18-year-old and they've gone out on a night and gone, should we just club together and get one nice bottle of red? Yeah, that'd be nicer, wouldn't it, really? Just by all means let them have wine, but only like Blossom Hill and shit like that. And then they've saved something back for adults. So just, it doesn't matter what it is, it could be rancid. We could go behind the bar now and just pick anything and go, right, this one. Nobody has allowed this until they're 60, right? Red aftershock. We should have looked at the bottle first. But it wouldn't matter how rancid the drink is. It's just about the excitement of having something to look forward to, isn't it? And then by the time you're 59, you would be camping outside Wetherspoons. On the eve of your birthday, with the excitement, I'm just worried they're going to sell out. So I'm getting in there at 9:30. I'm having one for every year. Just, Then you'd be getting ID'd in your 50s, which would be exciting and make you feel young again, wouldn't it? Just, you fuck off, I'll get these. I look the oldest, I've got a beard. Because I really tried in my 20s, because I thought that was the thing. I thought, if I get everything right in my 20s, then I can just coast through life being perfect. You know what I did in my 20s? I cleaned skirting boards with an antibacterial wipe. Nobody told me. If I could go back now, I'd just go, what are you doing? Go and have sex with someone, you penis. I wouldn't listen. I'd say, who's going to want to have sex with me when they see the state of these? I honestly thought women would give a shit if I had clean skirting boards. And I thought, if I get everything perfect now, then that'll just last forever. And now I realise how stupid that is. Give us a cheer if you're about 30 at the moment. It's quite exciting. Are you enjoying it? No. Give us a cheer if you're about 18. Much happier noises. Much happier. You've got so much potential ahead of you. My advice, please don't try. For at least 10 years. Be an arsehole. Burn stuff. Just... Because then when you get to 30, you're allowed to just say, oh, you know when I burnt your house down? I'm really sorry about that. It's just going through a really difficult phase. And people are morons. They'll go, I really admire you for saying that. It takes a lot of guts to own up to something like that. I just... Because there's nothing in your life you're really going to be consistent about. I sort of thought, if I have views now, I'll hold them forever. And life just doesn't work like that. There's things in my life I've absolutely adored that now I hate. Small things like MasterChef. Like... I thought MasterChef was for life. I made a commitment to MasterChef when I watched it young, and now I still watch it, even though I hate it, obviously. I watch a lot of TV I hate, because otherwise you're just drinking in the dark. It's always best if there's a colour and a shape in the room, isn't there? I'm not pissed, I'm watching the pink man do an egg. And I, because when I was young, it was so... If you're about 18, 19, I'm afraid you won't understand the era of MasterChef I'm talking about. Because there was an era of MasterChef when all it was just a parade of MILFs cooking dinner for Lloyd Grossman. That's all it was. Lloyd would just sit there in the studio going, hungry, hungry. And then MILF after MILF would arrive. I apologise for using the term MILF. I wish I didn't know what it was. But I'm afraid I live in a generation where porn is just everywhere. It's just everywhere, and I'm not strong enough. I'm not saying... It's not like a, yeah, I watch a lot of porno. I love to... I hate myself for watching porn. I just can't resist, because it's too easy for me. As a man, it's just too easy. I can type titties on a computer, and titties come up. Instantly, titties, titties! I don't even have to spell it right. I can spell it wrong. They'll go, did you mean titties? Sorry, I only had one hand. There should be something that just... A little pop-up screen that comes up and says, oi, pervert. If you're so sad and lonely that you need to see some titties, then you just click OK and I will show you some titties. But you should know, from all the women in the world, we hate you. You're a pathetic, sad, lonely individual, and I hope you cry when this is done. But you click OK and I'll show you some titties. All right, that would be enough some of the time, not all of the time. But some of the time, just to make me think, oh, I should probably use what's left of my imagination. But there's nothing. And there's a weird atmosphere where women will be watching this and there's this assumed... Women are like, oh, actually, I didn't like pornography. I prefer to read stories. I prefer to remember sensual moments from my past. Nonsense. Everyone likes the same thing every now and again. And I have this theory that actually the reason men watch pornography isn't because they're not romantic, it's actually because they're too romantic. And that there is the sound of only women laughing. Because the men are going, fucking go on, son. Oh, I haven't laughed yet, but if he nails this, I'll go to every gig he does for the rest of his life. I just think, at least with pornography, there's no presumption of a happy ending, is there? There's not... If you remember lovely moments from your past, they're still going to be there when you finish the task in hand, and you're going to feel even lonelier. At least with porn, it's so clearly a miserable experience that at least when it's done, you can... Because it's not a happy thing, is it? It's not like when you really fancy a glass of wine, and you're like, oh, I really feel better now. You feel worse after. It's just, oh, God, I'm so alone. And now I'm just covered in it. At least you just turn the laptop off and you go, well, at least they're not happy either. So there was all these MILFs in their late 80s, early 90s, and there was nothing for them to do but cook dinner for Lloyd Grossman. They would arrive and they would say, OK, Lloyd, there you go, that's asparagus souffle there. And I mean, that's the sort of thing I cook at home for Mabitha and Tabitha and Jabitha and Cabitha and Mabitha and Sabitha. And then Lloyd would have a little bit and he'd go, and you couldn't understand a word he was saying. But it didn't matter because it was just nice telly, wasn't it? It was aspirational, and I would watch it with my mum and my sister, and my mum would say, oh, that'll be you one day, John, on MasterChef. I'd be like, oh, I should be so nervous, Mama. What if the souffle didn't rise? As if I had any idea what a souffle was. If you'd have offered me a ramekin at that age, I would have phoned the police. Yeah, police. So I was going to ram something into my next of kin. And he used to like it. It was just nice and it was aspirational. And now he's this horrible, angry... Like, episode one now is generally, if they don't get these eggs right, we're going to give them AIDS. I'm not saying it's not good telly. It's well made, isn't it? You watch it because by the middle of episode one, there's a character you like. Like, well, I've got to watch this now to find out if Steve the Welder gets to open a cafe. Because he wants to cook. He's tired of burning his big fat hands on the welding. And you're really bought into... You're never going to meet this prick for the rest of your life, but by episode five, I'm punching people I love. Just, if she gets to the final, I'm going to kill all of us because she can do puddings, but she can't do mains. I don't understand how they make me give such a shit. There's people in my family I don't care about as much as Steve the Welder for 10 weeks. And then he has his epiphany. He has his epiphany where they go to the restaurant. And up until now, let me tell you this, Steve can cook, right? We all know this. His flavours are incredible. It's just his presentation. I mean, what are you doing, Steve? You're just throwing it on the plate from across the room. I mean, you're not cooking for a family of four. Just the first bite is with the eye, Steve. I'm pleased to have introduced that phrase to some of you. You clearly didn't know. And then they got to this restaurant and Steve realises, I've got big fat hands, but I can be delicate if I want to. I can cook pudding. And then they come back to the studio and he'll just do something delicate, like a little lemon mousse. It's just simple, it's just lemon, sugar and cream, but he'll just fire that ring mould and he'll lift it off and you're like, oh, it was liquid when it went in there, it's solid now. He's become a wizard. Well, that's enough for me, you slide that over, but he's not done. A little bit of icing sugar around the plate. Oh, is it winter? Oh, that's lovely. You're finished now, aren't you, Steve? He's not finished. Mint leaf, raspberry. Oh! He's still not finished. What's happening over here? He's got a little pan of sugar on the go here and it's melting, but it's not freaking him out. It's all right.
I know that we're going to happen. It goes brown and runny.
And then he just drips his spoon in it like that and he twizzles it around something like his knife sharpener. So he's got like a big helter-skelter of sugar. And then when it's gone hard... I wish I could say that and not laugh, but it's... When it's gone hard... You'll just slide it off the end. And you're watching it thinking, don't touch that, you fat-handed bastard, you'll break it. It's only delicate, you'll crumble it. And he wanders over to the plate like a grenade. And he just rests it against that lemon mousse, and then it's incredible. And he just slides it over to Greg Wallace, who'll come in with his big fucking spoon. Smash it on the head. And then he'll look at that. And despite the fact he's worked in catering all his adult life, he will lose his marbles. Tears flying from his face. You're a welder and you done sugar, what's going on? I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. Maybe not, Greg. Does it not remind you a little bit of the last series when an accountant did exactly the same thing? And the one before that when a midwife did it? And have you not finally clocked on that if people cook the same pudding for a month, they're a little bit good at it by the end, mate? And then he cries for 29 minutes, just rolling around on the floor in a pool of his own piss and tears. And then he finally gets it together. You think, he's cooked this mousse. He's not even going to try it, finally. He gets a spoon, and he just puts it in the mousse like that. And then he puts it in his mouth, and he just leaves it there for an inexplicable amount of time until you start to think, I think he's forgotten he's put that spoon in his mouth. I think TV's Greg Wallace is going to live the rest of his adult life with a spoon hanging out of his mouth here. And then when you're sure that's what's going to happen, he'll slowly tease it out of his mouth so that all you can see is the little streak of spitty mousse. He hasn't quite got in all this time, and then they go back for some more and you think, you're spitting in the mousse, Greg! John Turow hasn't had any of that yet, you pig. Might as well have just gone, this is lovely, John, do you want some? Oh, it makes me so angry now. But then there are things. There are things that used to make me angry that I love now. Like, London is a perfect example. I live here now. And I used to hate London when I lived in North, which feels a nut. I just assumed I hated London because it was big. I was like, oh, yeah, you all live down there and get mugged. And I'll walk in a field, see how you like that. And then I live here now. I really like it. It's really cool. I assume I'm going to get mugged every day. Just so it's a bonus when I don't, then. You get home and you think, oh, that's nice, I didn't get mugged again. I've lived here 2 years now, I've never been mugged. I'm actually a bit pissed off. I still, even if I don't get mugged, there's still that part of me that thinks, well, someone's getting mugged somewhere and I could have stopped that. It's ridiculous. It just makes you miserable, like, especially if I see a woman walking home on her own at night. Like, I live about 15 minutes out of the centre of London. Sometimes I get the last train back and I'll see a woman on her own and I'll just think, what are you doing? This is London, you're going to get murdered. And I'll read about it in the paper. I'll be like, well, I saw her. I probably could have done something about that. But what can you do? You can't... Like, I can't look at her and think, well, I know I'm a nice guy, so I'll just walk a bit behind her. Just till she gets home. I don't want her to know I'm doing it, because it's weird, so I'll just hide behind bushes and cars. You have to just let it go. But I live in London with two friends. One of the major decisions I made in my 20s was I decided that I've lived on my own a long time and the skirting boards were immaculate. Somehow my soul was still in tatters. I can't understand it. I lived above some very fetching garages in Swindon. But something was missing. So we just moved in with two mates and it's a real struggle now. I'm still trying to not let shit bother me because... I care about them, they're nice people, they're happy people. They're friends I picked because I thought they would rub off on me. They're happy, nice people. The easiest way to describe them is that they are adult males who eat cereal at nighttime. I've never seen it done in my life before. The first time they did, they're skipping from work and go, "Ooh, chocolate Wheatos!" What the fuck are you doing? You can't eat chocolate Wheatos now. You're an adult, have some olives. And they say, oh, I don't like olives. You go, nobody likes olives. That's not the point of the olive. You don't eat olives because they're nice. They're horrible, aren't they? You eat them to punish yourself for having survived this long. That's the purpose of the olive. We give sweet, colourful food to the children, and then when we get older, we shove whoring pellets of death into our face. It's not that it's an acquired taste. Children are just more honest. If you gave an olive to a child, it'd go, what the f... Are you trying to poison me? Piece of shit, I'm watching you. We eat them and we pretend we like them because we've marinated them in so much other shit you can't taste the olive anymore. There's chili and lemon zest and herbs and dog shit and anything. And then when you get older still, you squeeze the oil out of the olive so you can dip bread in it. Mmm, the blandest of foods dipped in the slimiest. Mm. How was your anniversary meal? What did you have for main course? I was too full for main course because I had a lot of slimy bread at the beginning. But they don't do that. They eat cereals when they get in. And, you know, they're nice people. I'm trying to make sure that I don't kill them. I think I'm going to have to, however, because of things they do which are clearly wrong. Now, I don't want to say they're clearly wrong, because clearly there's no right or wrong way of doing certain things. Are you two a couple? Yeah. Sex couple? a little bit, just a little bit, every now and again, just while she's asleep. How long have you been together?
6 months.
6 months? Oh, very new. Hence the excitement. Yeah, I go out, I watch theatre, come with me. And that really disappears after about a year, doesn't it? I thought we could stay the fuck in. That's what I thought I could do. I work all week, don't I? Oh, good, all the best. I assume you don't live together then after 6 months? And have you... Well, I mean... You don't want to be asked now on a DVD recording, do you? When that's going to happen. And you look to the side there as if to go, I'm so glad we sat a row behind. Do you two live together? How long have you two lived together?
More than 6 months.
And how is it living together? It's a real tension, isn't there? There's a lot going on here that I really don't have time to get into it because I have to talk about other stuff. But we can talk afterwards. I'll help you. I'm really a giver in terms of relationship advice. I advise you to just leave. My relationship history is dreadful because I think as soon as it stops being perfect, I just want to leave straight away. You know, initially, like 6 months, it's still you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, how did you sleep? Not much because I was watching you because I love you. Oh, let's... Let's have sex again. Yeah, brilliant, great idea. Just look to the side. It's amazing, that bit, but then that bit ends and you have to deal with it. I just can't do that. I think you should leave as soon as it's not perfect. So as soon as you wake up and they go, how did you sleep? No, not very well. Oh, fine, you dumped. Whatever. Because then it... Meow. And it's not like that. It's just you have to take it day to day. But here's how do you split your chores in your house? You're just not even answering the question. That's how little you do in the house. I just don't do the questions or the hoovering. You answer this. You tell them you do everything because it makes me look bad. Do you do most of the stuff? You get the kids to do it. Ah, well, it's cheaper than a slave, isn't it? Do they do everything? Some. They clearly do it badly, though. They're children. Would you not rather just do it? That seems like a nightmare to me, to have a child do something and then have to have that debate whether to tell them they've got it wrong and crush their soul or be grateful and deal with the fact they haven't really done it.
They're just the right height for skirting boards.
They're the right height for skirting boards. Ah. Yeah, you applaud. You applaud the audience when I've been busting my fucking balls. Right now. How was the gig? Yeah, he was all right. We was fucking brilliant. We was. We'd done a few jokes. Yeah, really good. I think we'll go on tour next year, actually, as an audience. Charge comedians to sit on a stage and watch us, because we fucking nailed that gig. Well done. We'll have to keep that in now, you prick. First DVD and I've relinquished control already. In terms of household chores, I'm not being... this isn't sort of martyrdom syndrome. I would happily do everything in our house. I don't care. I will do all the chores because I don't care, because I'm too old now to have a rota. You can't have rotas at 30. You can't have those conversations. Ah, oh, there's a yellow sticker, so you've got to wash the bath mat. I'd rather top myself, so... If the bath mat needs washing, I just wash it. I don't care. I just wash the bath mat. And then people don't notice when you wash their bath mat. They just get out of the shower and they go, oh, that's white. I thought it was brown. We don't discuss this. We don't say, yeah, do you know why it was brown yesterday? Because it was matted with your pubic hair. That's fine. Do you remember you came downstairs and you thought you'd put your slippers on? You hadn't. That's just a little visual clue for me. It's time to wash the bath mat, right? I don't care. I happily do everything. I don't care. But you can't do everything. When you live with someone, you can't do everything because they, you know, they do stuff. My housemates eat food, right? I think it's how they stay alive. I'm onto them. I'm watching them. But they eat food, so they need to understand things like how to deal with waste. So they need to know about things like recycling. And recycling's another one where I haven't told them everything about the recycling. It just would have taken too long. I just can't be able to have that full conversation. You know when you finish your cereal... can you take the little plastic bag out of the top? Because we don't want to do that yet. Just put that on the side, just put that on the side. And then have a look in. If there's any little Cheerios in the box, just tip them in the bin like that. Because we don't want the Cheerios to go in the recycling box, because then it rained and they get wet and they go mouldy and we've got a horrible box. You know you've opened the top of the cereal box. Can you open the bottom the same way and then twist it like that? It's gone all flat now, isn't it? No cereal in there, no. And then foldy, 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 foldy. Like a little envelope now, isn't it small? Isn't it small? Come to the green box over here. Come, come, quickly. Follow, follow. Yeah, put the little thing in the corner like that and wedge it in the corner with a wine buckle, because otherwise it spreads out again. All the work we did over there was ruined. So jam it against the corner, because that's where we keep the cereal back tin and the newspaper, and that's where we put the wine buckle, and that's where we put the bean tin and the jam jar. And then you pick it up every other Wednesday. Not every Wednesday. No, because they don't come every Wednesday, see? So I take the box into the garden. Follow, come, come. Take the box into the garden and you put it next to the big black box. That happened. I didn't say any of that because I didn't think they would understand. It's not fair on them, really, is it? Why are you talking like that, John?
I think I've had a breakdown. I think I've gone mad.
All I said, to keep it nice and simple, all I said is, you know when you've had your cereal, can you just pop the box on the windowsill and it gets recycled by the fairy? That's all I said. It's not a nickname I'm happy with, but it seems to have stuck. I don't want to buy a bigger dressing gown. I like the one I've got. That's all I said. Now, the cupboard for the cereals is here and the windowsill's here, right? So it's every now and again, I'll come back in from a gig, might be tonight, I flick the bin lid open. Oh. Hello, Mr. Cereal Box. How the fuck are you getting there? It's further away. They have to go on a little Arctic voyage with it.
Yeah.
Right. And now my first reaction when I see that is to think, oh, my God, they hate me. That's a little protest, that is. Now, put it in there so he knows we think he's a dick. The council wouldn't have a little green box like that. He's brought that with him. That's his little game. And I ain't playing it, right? And I think, oh, no, it's not that they hate me. I know they don't hate me. They're happier than me because they just, when they poured their cereal out, their first thought is, oh, I've got to eat it or my golden grahams will go all soggy, right? And then they skip away and eat their golden grahams. So they just don't give a shit. And it's my fault that I really care. But I just think, oh, they might as well, if they don't appreciate the recycling, just drop their pants, get up on the worktop and drag themselves across it. That's what it feels like. Just spell out, piss off back to Swindon in shit. But then we'll be together and I'll realise, of course, you don't hate each other, do you? They don't hate me. Because when they do clean stuff, they do it in front of me, so I get to see. So I'm there to award the points, you see? Because if it's an away game, I don't bother. I just think, oh, that cop must have leapt back into the cupboard by itself and cleaned itself, right? So they wait till I'm watching TV, something to relax me like you've been framed. Just the many pains of strangers. Ha, 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 an old lady, she may have broken a bone. And then we'll all be sat together and one of them will go, ooh, I'm going to do the washing up. And I'll open this gif and I have to watch them and I think, yeah, so am I. 5 minutes after you think you do. And I'd rather they didn't bother because I could just watch them doing it. It's like watching someone make love to my wife, but badly. You're not even damn going to have to do this again in a minute. It's got all your grubby prints all over it. But they look so happy when they do it. They look me in the eye and they go, hey, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing. Yeah, I can see what you're doing. You're doing a baking tray when there's still wine glasses. Piece of shit. But it's another one of those, I really know it doesn't really matter. I don't want to hear those words coming out of my face.
You know when you're washing a baking tray?
I just have to watch them do it. And I try and do it subtly, right? I try and get round it sometimes. I'll be having a glass of wine the next day and I'll just go, oh, this Sauvignon Blanc's a bit pork and leaky. It's just me throwing out breadcrumbs so they can follow him back and go, he said his wine tasted like pork and leeks, but then it was me that had pork and leek sausages. But I washed my baking tray.
But then I washed the wine glass.
I love being in a gig where people whoop stuff like that. Yeah, edgy comedians laying it down about the washing up. What have you got on Siri?
Nothing.
I mainly deal in the kitchen. But I say stuff like that, I say, oh, this tastes a bit pork and leaky, and they just go, oh, don't buy that one again.
They didn't do it, you did it.
I didn't buy it because I read the label and it had hints of grapefruit, citrus, pork and fucking leek. Do you know what this goes well with? Mashed potatoes. But I know they don't care. I have to just remind myself. But some are so hard to let go. I can just about do the baking tray stuff. There's some where, say we're here at the sink, right? We're doing the washing up. I don't know why we're squatting. We're doing the washing up at the sink, right? Here, I've put a little thing, right? It's like a big bean tin. It's a metal thing. It's got holes in it, right? So when you wash the cutlery, you just pop it in this thing and all the water pisses off out of the hole. So you've got a big thing of dry cutlery, it's all together, and then you carry it over to the cutlery drawer, right? I watch them reach past this thing. They can see it, it's there, it's there. They would have to be blind in this eye and looking that way to not see it. They reach past it so they can lay the cutlery flat on the drainer. And I mean all the cutlery, including teaspoons. And not that way around. So that a little pool of shitty water trickles down, picking up little bits of onion and Cheerios so it looks like it's already got soup in it. Oh, I don't understand how you do that. It's right there. But then even when they do use this thing, they wander over to the cutlery. Now, all I ask, you take it over to the cutlery drawer, you open the cutlery drawer, just pop it away however you like, as long as it's forks on the left, knives in the middle, spoons on the right. Teaspoons on the bottom, facing to the left, steak knives on the far left. Steak knives are lovely, lovely, sexy, sleek black handles, lovely long serrated edge, like a lady's figure. Sexy old steak knives, right? They'll put some of them away like that, and then they think, I'm bored of this. I'm going to put this one away in the knife drawer. And then I'm going to put the paring knife in there, as if they look all similar. Paring knives, horrible, fat, stubby little blade like that. Horrible, worn, fat, grey handle on it. Disgusting thing. I think, how have you done that? You were doing it right, and then you willfully did it wrong. And the only solace I get is that that's the one I'm going to kill them with. I'm just going to creep up to their room at night. Hello? I'm going to kill you now with this steak knife. That's actually a paring knife. So you do know the difference! So I really don't want to kill them. I promise now. I'm saying this on tape. I do not want to kill them, and I've tried ridiculous things to calm down about pigs. I've really gone on a voyage in my 20s. I've tried everything. I even looked into tantra and yoga and things like that, things that I thought might cleanse my spirit on the inside. And I went to this thing called a tantric yoga retreat. The real reason I went was this. The lady said, you come to my tantric away day, at the end of the exercises, you have what in tantra call a heart orgasm. Yeah, all right. You'd have a go, wouldn't you? Someone said, get in that shed, I'll make your heart jizz. Yeah, all right, I'll give it a crack. What it turned out to be is a shed and this woman who had filthy beanbags. That's not a euphemism, actual. Look at my filthy beanbags. I let you touch them, that's tantra. The actual circle of filthy beanbags that you have to sit on, like, oh, God. Oh, that hasn't come out of a heart. You sit round on these beanbags, and she stands in the middle, and she says stuff like, OK, we're going to talk about tantra today, and it's just a way of sort of understanding and controlling your chakras. Now, if you don't know what a chakra is, of course, it's a point in your body at which the energy of the universe resonates, OK? And then there would be this noise from everyone else in the room, mainly sort of middle-aged ladies, it has to be said. They would make this noise where they go, That was the noise of agreement. They go, yeah, chakras. And I couldn't help it. My noise was just a bit more, meh. It sounded like a whale orgy that someone had thrown a kitten into. And I kept having to remind myself, you don't know this, John. Don't prejudge. Go in there. I wouldn't say I went in with my mind open, because I don't believe you should leave your mind open. You wouldn't leave your front door open. Why would you leave your mind open? Any shit can get in and out then, can't it? I sort of, it wasn't even a jar. I leave my mind on the latch. It may appear closed to passers-by, but a breeze of knowledge will blow it wide open. So I'm sitting in there thinking, at any point I'm going to really get into this, I want to feel something. She said, OK, we're going to do the exercise now. What's going to happen? I'm going to go over here. I'm just going to put on some jungle sounds, which turned out to be sounds of the jungle, not like... which I think is jungle music. Having never actually heard any. I'm going to put on some jungle sounds, we're going to drop an E and chill the fuck out. I would have soiled myself if that had happened. I've never done drugs. I like drink, I don't do drugs. Because drink just goes, oh, you're thinking about that, are you? Not anymore. That's a valid thing. Drugs, I think, you've still got all the problems you had, but now you can't get upstairs because I made a fish. Why would you do that to yourself? I wouldn't be one of those cool... You know, some people are cool, they do drugs. Like, oh, God, it was a party. I ended up having a full conversation with Bob Dylan. It was amazing. I would be like, yeah, I went to a party. There was a fucking dragon there. No one told me I didn't have a sword, did I? No. Just locked myself in the bathroom and cried for a bit. So she said, I'm going to put on some jungle sounds, which were like boom-ba-ba-boom-ba-ba, and like rustling leaves and things like that. If you've been to the jungle, you can laugh. But otherwise, I'll tell you, that's a very accurate portrayal of the sounds. She said, what happens? I want you to, when you feel comfortable, just rise out of the beanbag. That was my favourite bit. Just... So I want you to rise out of the beanbag. And what I want you to do, I just want you to move around the room, expressing yourself with movement, right? And for me, that turned out to be this. This is how I express myself with movement. Sort of marauding sex pest. Yeah, real bums and titties. And she said, the key to the exercise, what I want you to do, I want you to take a big, deep breath in And then I want you to exhale. But when you exhale, what you must do is you must vocalise, OK? So I need you to just make a noise as the air exits your body, right? And the ladies interpreted this in what I would describe as quite a horny manner. They make some quite sexy noises, like, oh! But horny ones. I recognise that's not a horny noise. I can't even do it when I try. Well, no, that's not horny, is it? See you in the morning. But they're moving around like, oh, and I tried to do that. But the problem is, taking a deep breath and making a noise as you exhale, that is the definition of a sigh. And it's very hard not to just sound mardy. I was just in the room going, oh, oh, bloody hell. And I also discovered, not to compound the stereotypes of men and multitasking, but I couldn't move and do the noise at the same time. So I ended up just sort of chasing these women around the room. How? Like a really mardy ghost. And it went on for ages. I sort of knew quite early on this probably isn't the thing for me. But it went on for ages and ages and And eventually she stopped the music and I thought, well, now we're all going to say what we felt about that. Because I've got some pretty potent views. And everyone else went, oh my God, I feel amazing. I feel so connected. I feel like, you know, the cycle of my breath, it's part of life, and I'm privileged to be a part of that, you know, the universe. And she asked me, and I couldn't lie, could I? She said, what did you feel? And you can't be rude. If you've gone to someone, you have to be polite to them. If they'd pulled that shit in my front room, I would have told them what I thought. I just felt like, you know, you're all fucking mad. If you don't get out of the way of the telly, I'm probably going to start stabbing. I had to be polite, so I just said, I don't know, I didn't really feel anything. My shoulders are quite tense. I'm really sorry because I didn't mean to bring negative energy into the group. Oh, she's going to be angry. She's going to be angry with this. And she wasn't. She was so relaxed. She just looked at me. She said, that's okay, John. We sometimes find men will arrive at these groups with these sorts of problems. Can I just ask very quickly, are you putting your finger up your anus in the bath? And the reason I left a pause is so she could laugh. Because where I'm from, if you ask someone if they put their finger up their arse, the only response is to laugh. Do you pop your finger up your arse, do you? Give me that tenner, I told you I'd ask. She really waited. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to answer this. I don't know what the answer is. Really felt like she wanted me to say yes. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to say, oh, yeah, I'll put my finger right up there, yeah, regular. I'm still worried that she'd go, oh, you pig! I was only joking. Do you think that's why you might be unhappy? Because you can't leave your ring piece alone for 5 minutes? Oh, that's disgusting. Oh, I shook your hand on the way in here. God, you are a filth bag. So I thought, if you don't know, it's always best to be honest. So I just said, no. And really, this is the first time I've seen that as a problem. Now, up until now, if I get out of the bath and nothing's gone up my arse, I'd probably tick that off as a good bath. No, off we go. And if I'm having to fish the toilet duck out of there, then that was a mistake. That's probably the result of a fall or anything else I might choose to tell the paramedic. And she said, no, men have to do this, John. Men have to learn to self-honour. That's how she described it in this way, as if there's any honour involved in what she meant. Today I have honoured myself fully. She said, men have to self-honour in this way because as a man gets older, what he's never understood, and this is a lesson for any men in the audience who are getting older, which is all of them, unless you've invented a time machine, men have never understood that when they ejaculate, what they're not just giving out semen, they're giving... I'm sorry... They really threw that into it. She said, men aren't just giving out semen. She said, they're giving out life force. That's what's happening when a man ejaculates. He gives out life force. And that combines with the life force that's inside the woman. And it combines to make a new person. That's part of the journey of life force. And, of course, as a man gets older, he can't keep giving it out. He's got to keep hold of it in order to promote his life and live longer. And she said it with such confidence that just for a second, I totally went with it. Just for a second, I was like, yeah! All these women stealing my life force. I mean, by women, I mean socks, but she doesn't know. Really none of her business. It's the same process. And then as quickly as that arrives, it leaves. You think, well, no, hang on, this is bullshit. This is nonsense, because what she's saying is all old men die of a wank. Unless a doctor comes around at some point in your life and says, I'm here to tell you, Mr. Richardson, you've got one left. OK. I like doing that. I know you do. That's why you've only got one left. You're not going to do it when I leave, are you?
No. Bye, doctor.
Yeah. And I said to her, I just don't believe that, because people don't, they don't stop doing stuff, do you? As you get older, you still enjoy yourself. And she said, no, of course you don't, John. Of course you don't. What you're going to learn today is a process that we use in Tantra. It's going to help you carry on having fun and live longer as well. She said, we're going to teach you a process. It's called ejaculation. And it really is as horrific as it sounds. She said, what it is, it's a way of, when you get to the end of the experience, controlling your breathing and controlling your muscles in such a way that instead of it going out, it goes back in. No. You don't seem to understand. I can't sleep if I haven't cleaned the kitchen worktops. I can't go to bed having ejaculated into myself. Are you implying that it goes? What if I sneeze on a train, like, ah! Months worth of it up there. I'm so sorry. That's okay. Ejaculation, isn't it? We all have to learn as we go along. Anyway. I don't know. I don't know how many people in here get as annoyed as I do about trivial shit. I really, really try not to, but they sneak up on you, see? There's things that you get wrong that you've just never noticed before. Like, the other day, I was doing a cookery programme, by which all I mean is I was cooking my dinner and pretending the microwave was a camera. I'm not an arsehole. I was just, you know, every now and again, you just go, hi, welcome to dinners. Yeah. Tonight I'm going to make a little chicken casserole. So I was looking down camera 3, wall clock. Got to get yourself a full crew, I think. I was rather just look stupid, you're wasting your time. I was looking down camera 3 and the line I had to deliver, I'd say, OK, guys, bear with me, I'm just going to go and get an onion. And then I said, sorry, guys, you have to cut there, we'll have to go again, I got that wrong, sorry. And I know you're thinking, well, that sounds fine, John, I'm going to go and get an onion, that's exactly how I would say it. It's wrong. It's wrong, because I realise all my life, I've never been able to say things like, I'm going to go and get an onion, because I'm not saying an onion. It's too hard for me. What I'm saying is, I'm going to go and get an onion. And I've never noticed it before in my life until that very second when I went, you are a moron. You can't even say an onion. An onion. Isn't it a shit word? Onion is powerful. That's what the vegetable deserves. It deserves some respect. It's the only vegetable that can make you cry without touching it. You make someone cry with a carrot, but you really got to jam it up there. An onion, you just cut it and you're in tears. It deserves, it should be called like a fuck fist or something. At least onion has some clout, but that's not what we call it. We call it an onion. An onion. It really annoyed me. So I was like, sorry, guys, we'll have to go again. Here we go, take two. Everyone rolling. OK, bear with me, guys. I'm just going to go and get an onion. Because that's not right either, is it? Because if you went into a shop and you went, hello, can I have an onion, please? They would say, yes, you can. What is wrong with you? I just wanted to say it quickly. I just wanted to say an onion, but not an onion. There's no such thing as fucking onions. An onion, but not an onion. I'm not a robot. And then you think, well, all I've done there is waste half an hour of my life shouting the word onion at myself in my own kitchen. We wasted so much tape, we had to shoot the whole episode again. Very embarrassing. The floor manager was livid. Luckily, it was a carrot. I chopped him up, popped him in a pan with some boiling water and a little bit of salt. A little bit of sugar to bring out the sweetness. You're welcome. I realised quite a while ago I can't help you spiritually or emotionally, but I can pepper cooking tips. So don't write them down, it gets weird. Just try and remember them and your life will get better. And as soon as you are a human who cannot say the word onion but is bothered by it, you really have to address some things. And I realise what I don't deal with well is emotions, right? I would rather be a robot. I would rather just be able to get on with my life and achieve tasks and not have to worry about whether I enjoy them or not. Because as soon as you get into that, it's this all the time, isn't it? Up and down and up and down. Oh, it was a good day, but then I was a bit sad. Ah, oh, fuck's sake. You know, you have some days, I get to about lunchtime, and I just think, oh, I wish I was fucking dead. I hate everyone. I hate everyone. And I know I hate everyone I've never met as well. And then I have a sandwich, and then I start to feel better. And I think, oh, I was just hungry. Ah, oh, it's exhausted, isn't it? I thought I was suicidal. I just forgot I hadn't had any porridge this morning. I can't be arsed with all this shit. I think if I can't handle that on my own, how can I have a relationship? How can there possibly be any consistency when there's another person involved who has wants and needs and desires and temper tantrums and things like that? I just can't be bothered. And it's fine to accept. We've got some couples in relationships. You just accept it'll be tricky, but on the whole, it's better to have you around. The reason you don't really accept that is because when you're a child, you get read fairy stories. That's what happens in this country. Your parents lay you down and they turn the lights off and they read you a fairy story, which is a nonsensical tale of two people who have nothing in common. And about halfway through, whoever wrote them just ran out of time and went, bleh, they lived happily ever after. You wouldn't take that shit as an adult. If you were watching a play and it was sort of two people getting set up, oh, these are like chalk and cheese, what's going to happen? They move in together and then the curtain went down, they went, it was all fine. You go, well, can you expand on that, please? Because I don't believe you, and children aren't clever enough to do it. When a parent ends and goes and they lived happily ever after, they're not clever enough to go, no, they didn't. How did they? They're from completely different socioeconomic backgrounds. I don't understand what they had to talk about, Mother. You know, you just need to expand. She lived in a basement. He's a prince. I just don't understand. When you read them to you, I mean, they're good stories, read them, but just get to the end and be honest. Just say, and they lived for a set period of time in a state of mutually destructive contentment. Okay. People think Cinderella is this romantic tale of how love conquers all. It really isn't. It's the most unpleasant, misogynistic story I think that's ever been written. Cinderella is the story of a prince who has so much money and so little to do with it, he just throws massive parties and he dances around and he gets everyone in the kingdom to see how rich he is, and then he gets his knob out and someone takes a picture and it's a bit weird. He has this massive party, invites the whole kingdom, says, yeah, look how rich I am. Yeah, yeah, I dance like a prince. And if you've ever seen a prince dance, then you can judge me. But if you haven't, you don't know it doesn't work like this. Do the prince dance. And then he sees Cinderella in the corner. He's like, oh, my God, look at the tits on that. Oh. I think I'll be having sex with that. I'm the prince. Off he goes. I really thought I could moonwalk in my life. It's another thing I've discovered in my 20s. I can't moonwalk. It looks like I've walked into a room, shit myself, and I'm trying to get out before anyone realises. Because it's simple to do, isn't it? You just look like you're walking forwards, but you're walking backwards. But I can't... I really thought I could do it. So I can't moonwalk. And now the only man who can teach me is dead. So, the prince, he sees Cinderella, he moonwalks over. He goes to... Oh, my God, she's gone. I can't believe it. Oh, she's left her shoe. Thank God. Well, I'll find her with that. Because why would I have remembered what her fucking face looks like? Pervert. Looking at the titties, wasn't he? Did she have a face, did she? I wasn't really that bothered, to be honest. I'll find her with the shoe, because heaven forfend, there would be two size sixes in the entire kingdom. Off he goes, sniffing women's feet for a month. Are you a size 6? No, 6.139. Get off, you. Eventually finds Cinderella. There she is in the basement, which is being kept in by her sisters who make her clean for a living. He goes, oh, my God, I found you. Can't believe it's you, the girl from the party. But at the party, you had that sort of designer dress and the tits. Tits. Oh, tits. Tits. But now you're sort of down in this basement, you're dirty and you stink, you got rags on. What's happened there, love? And she goes, oh, well, it's a long story. Fairy godmother pumpkin, blah, blah, blah. Oh, wonderful, a smackhead. All this time looking for her, and here she is downstairs talking about pumpkins you can ride to work in. Ah, well, I've come this far, come with me. Right, that's where we end the story as adults. That's where we go, that's fine, they lived happily ever after. Let's look at it now as adults in the cold light of day and say, they probably didn't. They probably had about a week that was fun and it was like, oh, God, I'm having sex with a poor girl. Unbelievable. And then he would have just said something at a dinner party. Just about a week in, he would have gone, oh, that little flat knife there, that one, you're actually supposed to use that for your fish, but, well, there you are, buttering your bread with it. Fucking idiot. She would have gone, oh, it's just a knife, isn't it? It's you cut with it, you slice with it, you spread with it. It doesn't matter, does it? Do you know why you've got 15? Because there's nothing to talk about. All your mates here, silver spoon morons, none of them have ever had a job. What are we supposed to talk about? I don't understand. You go, bleh, 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 bleh. Can you not take the piss out of my friends, please? Because I knew these lot before I picked you out of the gutter. Oh, I don't remember asking to be picked out of the gutter. Oh, that's a good point. Why don't you fuck off back there? And so ended the tale. Just think, it's worth knowing that if you read these stories to a child, this is the future you are promising them. And it doesn't. I don't just think, oh, well, I'll pick a different fairy story. They're all bullshit. Princess and the pea, roll over a bit. How big is this pea, for Christ's sake? And have you never lived with a man before? It's not the pee in the bed you want to worry about, it's the constant stench of pee in the bathroom. Pissing up the shower curtain, on the bath mat, it doesn't matter. The worst one is Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty is the tale of a man who kisses a woman for the first time while she's asleep, and then that never crops up again, ever. Never mention that. Why would I've had girlfriends that I've been going out with who I've kissed whilst they've been awake, who knew I was going to do it, who still got pissed off. I've never crept into their room and got off with them before we'd been introduced. That would have come up within days they'd have been out. Just go, oh, you two look good together. Where did you meet? Oh, it's a good story. It's a good story, that. Do you remember that first night when you raped me? I'm lying upstairs, fast asleep. That's not stopped old wandering tongue. No, I woke up when he was getting off with me, but you'd been in the room 15 minutes, hadn't you? And the worst thing they teach me as a man is that I'm supposed to be like a prince. I'm supposed to rescue women from all situations and do all things for them. And women don't need that anymore. They don't give a shit. And it's not. This sounds like I'm being, oh, do you know what my problem is? I love too much. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'll ruin your fucking life. I will follow you everywhere and do everything and weird little shitty things where you go, oh, I've got to book that. No, you haven't. I went through your diary. I saw you had that meeting coming up, so I booked the train for you. No need to thank me. Can't get angry with me, can you? Because it's a nice thing, but it's all festering away. Until one day it all comes out and you just go, will you piss off? I can eat a yogurt on my own. And I go, you don't have to, I'll flick it at you. And you just tell me what yogurt you like, I'll wake you up by flicking it into your face. So I tell you, I'm gonna have my own fun. Fuck. That's not the voice I'm sticking with. I think that's the one that jars most with the body I've been given. Hey, hi, what's happening? You're leaving. What's happening? The reason I want a relationship to work is because I finally, for the first time in my life, started to think I want kids. And I've never really... Broody to me is just not certain that I definitely don't want children. If I even for a second think, oh, I could handle that, that is massive broodiness to me. And it happened the other day, walking near where I live, I saw a woman pushing a pram with two kids in it, about toddler age, that could converse and understand. And all I heard her say, really tedious comment, she just went, well, no, because cars aren't allowed to turn right all the time. Sometimes they have to go straight on. That's all I heard her say. And I thought, that's what I want. I want to have to explain that to a human. Imagine how fun it must be to have company of two humans to whom you say a sentence like that and they go, you blow my mind. I've always thought they could just turn right willy-nilly, but you're telling me sometimes they have to go straight on. I mean, how do they... Where do they end up? Well, they just do two rights. Fuck me. Oh, so glad you're with me. I just think I understand this world. And then... Because I want to be a teacher. I don't know where the lines are with children because I'm not naturally a sympathetic person. I like to be able to do things to help people, but they have to be concrete things. I'm not cuddly. I don't do, oh, all that shit I hate. Words like diddums and nunu and schminky and all that crap. When you tell someone a problem, they go, oh, diddy-boo-boo, you got piss off. Don't touch me. Tell me how to pay my rent this month. Don't tickle me like I'm a dog that's pissed on something. I'm not, and I don't think I could be, because I don't think sympathy is good, even for children. It's not good to be given sympathy. You need help. Like, you know when you watch a child running around and then it falls over? There's a 30-second window. They don't cry straight away. There's a gap in which the whole world stops. And it's just the child working out what's happening. They're just going, well, that's a lot of carpet in the old face. What's happened here? What was I doing? I was watching Thomas. I wanted a Jaffa cake. I really wanted a fucking Jaffa cake. I run into the kitchen and I've got all this carpet up in my grill. And I think if you leave them there, they'll work that out. They'll become functioning human beings. But parents don't let them. As a parent, you see your child and you go, oh no! And that's when the kid goes, shit, I'm dying. Broken bones, I'll never walk again. The least I can do is cry, I guess. I'll cry, then I'll get some ice cream, and then we'll deal with it later. I reckon as a parent, if you see your child fall over and you go, the kid will go, what am I like? Oh, so sorry about that. I'm sorry. How many times have you told me about running? Oh, I'm full to myself. I'm going to go and watch some Thomas and chill out for a bit. I'm not naturally sympathetic, and I don't know when you're supposed to tell a child it's shit at something and when you're supposed to accept that it's just a child, it's not capable of this yet. I don't know. I just couldn't... Oh, what are you doing there? A little bit of colouring in? I just wonder why you're carrying on with that, because you've gone out of the lines, haven't you? It's ruined. It can never be perfect now, can it? Because you're going to have to start again, because I tell you what, it's not going on the fridge like that. Trying to eat my breakfast with that brown line coming out of the tree. Bullshit, start again. And here's a little tip from Daddy. When you do the next one, just have a look what colour your Winnie the Pooh is and then wonder why you've done him fucking purple. It's not creativity, it's copyright infringement. It's a registered trademark. That's why it talks and all that shit. Don't talk in real life. No, it would eat your face off. Eat your face off. You could scream for help from Piglet, of course you could, but I imagine he had him first. So fucking vulnerable. Anyway, what are you crying for? Get your shoes on, we're going shopping. Now we're getting onions. You need to learn to say this shit. Otherwise you'll get bullied, because I'll do it. I really don't, because I went to visit a friend who'd had kids. I've got a lot of friends who are starting to have kids because they've got mortgages. I start to worry they're going to leave each other, so I think, we'll have a kid. That's us tied down for 18 years then. They don't acknowledge that, obviously. They put some gloss on it and they stop inviting me around for dinner. But they're starting to have kids, and I visited a friend who'd had a child, and the morning was just unbelievable. We went to an allotment, and it was looking at everything and laughing. It'd laugh at any old shit. Old jokes, nicked stuff. Idiot, this thing. You just pull a face, it would piss its pants. I was like, ah, oh, I definitely want a kid. I definitely want a kid. Then we went back to their house, and they gave it a banana. Total 180-degree U-turn, instantly. This thing could not do banana. It was the most unpleasant, rancid thing I've ever seen. Didn't stop him shoving it in its face, though, did it? And the eyes on this kid went big. It knew what was happening. It was embarrassed for itself. It was just exactly the same eyes that a dog does when you watch it having a shit. Like, watch if you like, mate, but we're not going to enjoy this, either of us. Ramming this banana in it. And it could mush it up. Of course it could. It could take the banana and mush it up. None of it was going down. Just all... All spitty and brown now it was, going down its face. And I was looking at it going, oh, you sicken me. You can't have kids if that's your response, can you? My kids would be paranoid by about six, just rocking in a corner going, I'm not eating fruit, Daddy, I'm not. Mush him, and then the parents would go, oh, get it back in. You go, oh, God, it's on you now. Oh, now I can't touch anything in this spitty banana house of shit. I started imagining it cascading down the walls. It was like The Shining. I was trying to get out and it was oceans of it pouring down the stairs, trying to open the door without touching it and getting spitty banana all over me. So just, I think I was just to get better. If I've sort of reached a conclusion, there's no way I can let the little stuff go. I just can't. I'm not going to live a life. But what I can do is make sure I enjoy the good little things that happen more. I think that's the only chance I've got of being really happy, is you just see the little things. And my idol in this would be my nan. My nan, she sadly died this year. She's an incredible woman, inspiration. And when I say she's an inspiration old lady, I don't want you to think I'm saying, do you know what she did for her 80th birthday? She actually climbed Kilimanjaro. Do you know what she did when she got to the top? She got an iPad out, she watched Inception, she got all of it. So Pretty amazing lady. Why she was inspirational to me, as she got older, what she liked to do was sit in her chair and piss herself laughing. That's what she did, and that's what I want to do as I get older. Just total guilt-free, just laugh, laugh. I can't laugh without feeling guilty. Like, even this, comedy's nonsensical to me, because we're in here having a laugh. Outside, someone just got punched. And we're not doing anything about it. We're in here going, ah, they're going, ah! Loads of people getting punched. We're not doing anything. But that's the sensible way to be. That's what she did. She was just sitting in her chair. The last time I saw her go, and you always had to check she was laughing because no noise would come out. It was a totally silent. She was like a mobile. She would go and vibrate for a bit. And you'd just glance over and she'd be... like that. And the last time I saw her go, she was reading her paper and the headline that set her off was Pope Enters Jordan. That was it. Just pissed herself for about 5 minutes. And you ask her what she's laughing at, she can't tell you, of course. She can't go, I'm just imagining the Pope nobbing Katie Price. So she laughs more because she can't tell you, and you start laughing because she's laughing, and the whole house is juddering because she's imagining a wizened old penis going into a vagina. And I think that's what I want. And I do, there are things that happen, little things that really excite me that probably shouldn't. For example, for this to function, you just need to understand, if you eat a packed lunch near me, I am watching you. I am watching you like a hawk, right? And not because I don't like you. Anyone who makes a packed lunch is a good human being. You will be amongst the last to die when I take over. The humans that make packed lunches are incredible. Because you wake up like the rest of us, you're hungover, you're tired, you feel sick. We hit snooze, you go and make sandwiches. First thing in the morning, when the last thing you want to think about is ham and egg and corned beef, but you go and you go, oh, it'd be worth it at lunchtime. And you cut them into a little shape so they fit neatly into your little box. And then you build everything else around it so your apple doesn't bang into your banana. And then you put a little chocolate biscuit in there, don't you, right at the end? But you pretend all morning that you haven't, so it's a surprise when you find it. Remarkable people. Yeah, I'm gonna have my lunch. I've forgotten my chocolate biscuit again. Oh, yes! Oh, there's a mint club in there. Oh, I forgot I'd put it in there. Keith, you legend. You're remarkable people, right? So if I watch someone eat a packed lunch, it's like watching a child unwrap a stocking. Just total joy. It doesn't matter who you are. It could be Obama having his packed lunch. You look like a five-year-old. He's going, I hope I've got a yoghurt. So I was on a train going into London. I'm stood in the sort of cubicle bit, and I watch a guy opposite me unload a packed lunch onto his lap. And I'm like, here we fucking go. This is already the best thing that's going to happen to me today. You better finish this before my stop, because otherwise I'm not getting off. This is the reality we're confronting. I look around and no one else has clocked this. I'm like, well, this is my little private show then. It's like a lap dance now. It's just me and him and his lunch. I'm like, oh yeah, do it, baby. He lifts his lid off like that. First thing he gets out is a baguette, right? Smoked salmon and cream cheese. Wouldn't have been my choice, but I let him carry on. He puts the box to the side. I already like him when he's made his packed lunch. Bear this in mind. I fall a little bit in love with him when he unwraps it, and I can see that that cling film has been cut with scissors. This is a professional we're dealing with here. It's not all stretched and torn like, oh, you bastard, it's snibbity, snibbity, snibbity. Baldy, baldy, see you at lunchtime. He's going to know how to eat this baguette, and he really did. He nailed it. He ate the end bits first. Obviously too crusty, aren't they? You're not going to end on that. Works his way into the middle, the perfect middle inch. That's where he worked out from when he was creating this masterpiece. That's what he wants at the end. And he didn't eat one end and then the other. Constant pivot. Got to that little middle inch, popped it in his mouth. Oh, that is perfect. This is a pro. Still no one's watching. I'm like, you dicks. He reaches and he grabs an apple. And I'm a bit disappointed, because when you watch the best, you want to see them take on something. I want to see him eat like a meringue or something. How are you going to do this, chief? Like an apple, you just say, oh, get on with it, dickhead. Just grabbed it like that, so the stalk's coming out of the top. He picks the stalk off, throws it in his lunchbox, and then he does this. Ow! Big old bite out of the very top of the apple. And I audibly yelped at that point. You can't eat the lid of an apple. We all know, an apple has a lid and a base. You clutch that, you consume around the apple. These are facts. You can't eat the lid, this tit, right? I know what's happened. He's holding it. He's thinking, I really want my apple, but I'm not holding it, right? He's like, oh, fucking ruined it now, haven't I? I'm going to get a sticky finger when I try and hold this properly now. Well, at least I hope no one noticed. And I just want to look at him and go, yeah, I saw you. You let me down, big guy, right? And I'm waiting for him to... He don't look up at all. He just goes like this. Ow! Another bite. And then I think, hang on, that wasn't a mistake. This is how he eats a fucking apple. From top to bottom. Now my mind is melting. Instantly. You can't tell me there's new ways of eating fruit. Now if someone gets on a train with a banana, I'm like, well, I don't know what's happening here. He'd probably just shove it in his earlobe or something. Just sit on a melon and ingest it somehow. I'm watching him, and you see him eat the lid, you think, well, he's going to eat the core, isn't he? Now, am I supposed to interject here? Because he's going to turn into a tree. I don't want to watch a man die while he's having his lunch. You can't jump in, can you? Go, no! Idiot. Did you not see the tree in carriage B? Honestly. So there is a warning to all of us, that is. He eats right through the core. Now, I'm not showing off. I have seen someone eat the core of an apple before. I've travelled. There was a friend of mine at primary school. It was a cry for help. He used to eat other people's. You'd eat your apple, you'd give him it. He'd go, shoof. He's a tree now. Richmond Park, he's doing all right for himself. He eats right through the core of this apple, and I think, well, hang on. I have never seen anyone in my life eat the little anus bit at the bottom of it. You know the little wizened tarantula's ring piece? Right, they're even on your own apple, you don't look at it, do you? It's disgusting. Like, oh, lovely apple. Ugh. Why did I look at that? I can't eat that now. It looks so much like an anus. If you squeezed an apple and shit came out, you wouldn't even be surprised, would you? You just think, well, what did I think was going to happen when I squeezed the apple? Of course it's going to have a shit out of its anus. I'm rude to watch. He gets down to the anus, and it's really like, you know, sometimes you hear a skid, and you think, oh, I'm going to see a car crash. And then you think, oh, I don't want to see a car crash. And then you think, oh, I don't want to miss a car crash. It's that. I don't want to watch him eat this anus, because he's going to put it in his mouth. I'll feel it on my tongue, all dry, and get it off my anus. But I can't look away, can I? Because you can't ask anyone else. Excuse me, did you see if that man ate his anus? I'm just going to pull this red handle here, and we're going to find out who should be with you. All right. I have to, and he gets right down to the anus, right? And he's got the whole anus in his hand, like the song. He sort of moves to a pinch. He's really got hold of this thing now, and I'm sickened by him now. It's MasterChef all over, and I fucking hate you. I'm going to grab that escape hammer. You're not getting off this train now. Can't let you breed. I'll eat the anus, sure, but don't end with it. It's as if he's saying, yeah, I don't mind the flesh, but I just get that so I can have the anus at the end. And he nibbles all round, so there's no flesh left on it. It's just the anus, and I'm physically trying to hold down sick now. Puts it in that hand. He retrieves the cling film from his sandwich, unfolds it, pops the anus in the middle, folds it twice more, and I would say my heart ejaculated over everyone in the house. This has been an absolute delight. Thank you so much for being here. It's a night I'll never forget. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'll see you all again soon. Take care. Thank you very much. Thanks. It's my favourite noise, that one. Ooh, 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 ooh. Thanks for bearing with this. It's been hot. Is it hotter up or down? It's because heat goes up, doesn't it? Just end with some shit science there. Heat goes up. I don't know if you know that. You're welcome. I'm quite the messiah. I'm not supposed to say this either, but I always apologise at the end for people who've hated it. Seen as negative, but you just can't escape the fact in a room this big, some people in here will have fucking hated that. There's nothing I can do about it. They're generally men. Generally the husbands of women who wanted to come, who just got dragged along. And they know straight away, that's the thing, first half, that happens. Just... And then in the interval, there's a chat like, he's just fucking moaning. He ain't even got any jokes. He's just doing what I do on the couch. You call me an arsehole. I hate to see this piece of shit. I'll tell you about the recycling bins, because I've got to carry the fucking things out every other Wednesday night. Yoghurt under my hands. Issue that has Benacol. So I don't generally ask for questions or anything, because I don't believe anyone's thinking, what a fascinating guy. I wonder what else he hates or takes too seriously. I fucking hate ending gigs, because then now we all just have to go and live our lives. It's fine for you, but I'm still me. Whoa, do what? Corby. Call you. Okay, I mean, I haven't got your number. You have just seen that, haven't you? You know I'll fucking make you miserable.
I'm already miserable.
Oh, well, thanks for selling yourself. Give us a bell, John. We'll go together. It'll be like Romeo and Juliet, but without even a brief window of happiness. You'll know I'm still alive. You just won't give a shit. I've had a thing recently where I've had enough of talking about, you know, all the big issues of the world. At 30 is old enough for me to realise I'm not going to fix them. I was like, well, I'm not going to solve racism, am I? I can't even say onion. So when I have dinner parties, you know at a dinner party you discuss things, you like over starters you discuss local issues, don't you? Someone will say something like, oh, how did you get here? Oh, we had to go the long way around because of building that bloody Morrison's. It's bloody worth it when it's built. I love a Morrison's, but it's a pain in the arse. And then main course, you've got to branch out again, haven't you? Someone will go like, anyway, enough about this Morrison's, how are you two? And you're like, oh, not very happy, but we've got the mortgage, so we're going to have a kid. And then pudding, you've got to widen out again. And usually what happens at a dinner party is at this point someone will volunteer a big issue with the noise. You won't recognise it in isolation, but it comes out, they'll be swilling a red wine like that. Someone will go, John. Talking earlier about John Terry, you know, it just made me wonder, do you think it's football's job to solve racism if it's so prevalent in a wider society? And that used to be my favourite bit. That used to be the one, yeah, we're going to talk about an issue now. This is going to be brilliant, right? Now all I think is, all right, so we're not going to talk about the meringue, are we? Because I fucking made that. That really, for me, is the only topic of conversation at the end of dinner party now should be, I've got a question, John. This is crunchy on the outside, but it's chewy in the middle. How have you pulled that off? A little bit of vinegar in with the egg white. Anyway, this has to end. You have trains to catch. I just would talk shit and just never leave. But then there's other shows coming in here. You can't really have Macbeth on with just, why is that guy in the background crying? He just doesn't want to go home.
Is this a dagger that I see before me? No, it's a steak knife. It should be in the passenger hall.
Thank you so much for coming. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you again soon. Take care.